cross, my death to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my death to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my death to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You may be seated. Oh, you already are. This is not a mirage. I was planning on being here all the time. I just asked Dan Winkiewicz to come. He didn't even know I was going to be here. But I told him, relax, Dan. It's going to be fun to be able just to listen to somebody else preach. And we are glad that you are here, Dan, this morning as well. I'll give the switcheroo here when you get up here so you can have this roving mic. And I go up to the pulpit now. Maybe you know that or not. But glad that you are here as well as everyone else. Remember, last Sunday was Easter. It seems like it was 2 months ago, being gone. But we got back last night around 5 o'clock, I guess. But we didn't have time to do a message, so you've been prayed for as well. Good to see everyone here today as we have a meeting that follows the morning worship service. I'll give you about 10 minutes. If you don't have this, that we'll be using this to go along. It gives you a lot of reports that are in here from a lot of different places and people who are chair people and presidents that have gotten a report that are in here. It's a good way to find out what's happening with Harbor of Joy. If you don't have one, there's one on the back table. And you can take one. You're only people that are able to vote are those that are members of Harbor of Joy, but we sure include the friends of Harbor of Joy as well. Don't feel that you're slighted. We still want you to be a part of the meeting if you want to do that. It's free. There's good refreshments afterwards, so that might make the meeting go even shorter than normal, but it usually is a pretty fast meeting along the way. So at any rate, we can have fellowship afterwards as well today. But today, I just want to thank, I don't know if I ever did this, but Richard Mitski and Suzanne Kern for leading Grief Share, you know, the last few months. And we'll schedule another one, like either in August or in September. We'll get one going again. Just so that you know that it's not the end. It's not one and done. This is something that will continue on. We try to have two of them every year, if that is possible. And so you know of anyone that is dealing with grief or has lost a loved one, maybe it's you yourself that's here today, you are more than welcome to become a part of this. There's no cost at all to this. It's just to come. You watch a video, you share kind of some of the things that you're dealing with. And there's others in the group that probably have been there where you have been or are where you are at, and they have some helpful advice that they can give to you as well. So keep that in mind. That usually would take place on a Tuesday morning, but not anymore because we finished this last time. And so I just want to make sure and thank Richard and Suzanne. Sometimes, I don't know if it always gets in the bulletin or not, but I remember like about 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, well, Sunday morning, I go like, oh yeah, could I put that in the bulletin? I didn't. Just want you to see what's going on today. The children, if there are any kids here today, will be released during the message. Don't take any offense to that. to go to a Sunday school down in the Fireside Room. And just to let you know that this is the last week that we have Joy Kids as well as Joy Us this Wednesday. It's Amy, where are you at? Is there anything going on other than, is it a meal and a program?
Yes, a meal at 5:15 and then a program at 6.
Okay.
And all the food's provided, so nobody needs to bring anything.
Okay. Everything's taken care of. Okay, thank you so much for that. But last time they'll be meeting is this Wednesday, and then there won't be anything until basically closer to the end of September when we get started there again. And to let you know that second-year confirmation class will meet at 5:30 this Wednesday. It's very important because next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday. And it'll be done differently than what you've probably ever have seen or experienced. But it'll be a lot like the first one, if you remember that one. That was many moons ago. So we'll have that coming next Sunday. It's a very meaningful time with everyone that is here as well. And then Thursday night is Read Through the Bible, is here at the church at 6 p.m. And Saturday is the men's breakfast. Right, Ron? All right. That's at
6:30.
Oh, I noticed that. So it should be 6:30 Thursday. Not 6 o'clock. Make note of that if you are a part of that. Sorry about that mistake. That's there. And we are just going to say that we hope you can make it to the biannual meeting that follows today along the way. And just always good to see that we have some people that are back from down south. I don't think Carol Banta is back yet. She leaves tomorrow. I think she's the last one. Other than that, everyone is back.
Oh. He's on his way.
Next week. He's coming. Not only is he going to be back, but CJ will be back too. So it's just good to see all of you back because we missed you. Just wanted you to know that. And if you're here today for the first time, sorry you didn't get to hear me preach. But I know you probably came because Dan was here as well. But let's have a word of prayer. And there's other things in the bulletin that you can read as well, keep you up to date. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you, Lord, for your resurrection that we celebrated last Sunday, but we know, Lord, that every day is a resurrection, something to celebrate, the hope that comes to us through your resurrection, that we can live in that hope each and every day, and we can pass that hope on to others who don't have it. And so may you work in ways that only you can work in the hearts and the lives of people, those that are going through some difficult days, those that are in the hospital, those that are recovering from different kinds of illnesses and surgeries and things that are outside of their help and control. We know that we can give them over to you because we can never lose. We know that we have you in our lives. And so we thank you this morning, Lord, for Dan Winkiewicz being here as well as our meeting that takes place with Al Lickhart, who will be leading today. And all those who are involved, we are very, very grateful for. We thank you, Lord, for the greenness that we see down here compared to what was up in northern Minnesota. It's still pretty brown up there. But we know that it's warmer here, especially if the wind does not blow. But it's gorgeous here. And so we just look to you, Lord, as we are mindful of your presence here with us this morning, that it's another day, another opportunity for us. If we don't know you, today can be that day that we come and receive you by faith into our hearts and our lives because you are worthy. And you can make we who are unworthy, you can make us worthy because of all that you did on the cross for us and rising again on the third day. So bless our time together here this morning. Use it in a way that will make us different when we leave than the way that we came in this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. Call to worship. comes from Psalm chapter 4. Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O man, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Shame.
rising God, can I bless your name? You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Responsive reading this morning comes from the hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your King and King adore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice. Rejoice, again I say, rejoice. Jesus, the Savior, reigns. The God of truth and love.
He has
lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. Rejoice. Again I say rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail. He rules over earth and heaven. Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. Rejoice, again I say rejoice. Lynn Kelling will sing and play a song while Richard Mitski will do some sign language.
Him and saw us simple men, a carpenter with healing in his hands. They saw him calm the sea and heal a dying man. They saw, but could they really understand? They could not, they could not, though they tried, they could not. He was just a simple carpenter with healing in his hands, but could they really understand? Listened to the teaching that they heard and wondered at the mystery of his word. They wondered what he meant about a father's plan. They heard, but could they really understand? They could not, they could not. Though they tried, they could not. They listened to his teaching about a father's plan, but could they really understand? They could not. So finally, upon a rugged cross, they killed the man who would not suffer loss. And when at last they took what willingly he gave, he died, but could they keep him in the grave? They could not, they could not. Praise God, they could not. And when at last they took from him what willingly he gave, could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? They could not. They could not. Praise God. They could not. And when at last they took from him what will could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? They could not. They could not.
First, we'll find out if we have sound. Can you hear me now? All right. Well, it's interesting to be here, and three things are different than the last two times I preached. And each of the last two times, I preached right away, and then I rushed out the door to drive over to Estherville to preach at their 10:30 service, getting there just in time. And of course, this time I'm not going to preach at that time. So that was two times. Now the third difference, of course, is Tim's here this morning, and I see he's taking notes. I'm not sure if he's got a red pencil or a regular pen, but no, we are. It's a joy to be here with you guys. But I should be honest with you about my last two little adventures. I did preach here first and got out the door, and the last thing someone said to me as I went out the door was, "Now don't speed." And I did. And I came rolling into Estherville down the hill, and if you know that hill, and all of a sudden I thought, "Well, look at there, there's a policeman going after someone," and that was me. And so, of course, he pulled me over right there on Main Street, and I was looking around thinking, pretty soon somebody's going to go by that knows me. But anyway, he came up and looked, and of course, I had my Bible on that top, and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well," I said, "I'm going to preach in the Presbyterian church there." And I said, Anyway, you'll be happy to know he came back with my license and said, "Well, there's nothing on your record, so go have a good time. But you might want to slow it down," so you can be assured the next week I did. The next week I got there, and they have a big pipe organ in that church, and as I walked in, I heard the strangest music, because I had preached a little bit longer here, and as I walked in, I thought, "What is that? That's theme music." And he was playing da-da-da-da-da-da-da, dum-da-da. It's a theme from Jeopardy. It's like, my goodness. And they all laughed, and I walked up and opened my Bible and preached, and it all worked out just fine. But it has been a bit of an adventure. So it's very nice today to not have to do that. I'll still try to preach and end on time. I have the joy of having my wife here with me, and she always is a good timekeeper for it. So if you see her waving her hands at me, she's not Pentecostal. She's telling me it's time to quit. But let's have a word of prayer for me and for you as we turn our attention to the Word of God. Lord Jesus, thank you. I'm sure, as usual, take too much time preparing and not enough time praying. But Lord, this is your time and it is your word and these are your sheep. And I ask that you would bless this, our time together, as we look at your word. Lord, I am so thankful for the ministry here and the body of believers that you gather here today, Sunday after Sunday. For those that have returned, bless them, and we thank you that they came home safely. And for those that are on the way, bless them and bring them. Lord Jesus, you know the needs that are spoken and unspoken, and we lift them up before you. Pray for me now as I speak. Help me to be honest and straightforward. Lord, your will be done. Lord, I ask today that this message would encourage one person in some significant way. And I thank you in Jesus' precious name, amen. Now I'm gonna begin today by reading, and I actually had them put the entire chapter of Genesis chapter 7 there. I probably won't read the entire chapter, but I'll give you a heads up back there so you don't get lost. But we're gonna begin in Genesis chapter 7, and it reads like this. I'm assuming that's the NIV, so I'm going to read out. Okay, all right, then we'll be good. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep them, their various kinds, alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of the clean and unclean animals, of the birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth and the floodgates of the heavens were opened and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, according with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. And from there, now let's move to our passage in Matthew. I'm going to read a short passage out of Matthew, and that is from Matthew chapter 6. And it says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where their thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Well, it's interesting. You probably picked up a theme out of that reading from Genesis chapter 7, 40. He repeats that, and very specific, 40. 40 days, 40 nights of rain upon the earth. Now, it's interesting, and today's sermon is simply called 40. And today we're going to take a walk. I'm wondering if some of you might remember a guy by the name of Peter Jenkins, who was at a rough spot in his life and went out one day for a walk in 1973 in October. And as he began to walk, he just kept walking. And he walked for the next 2 years and walked across America. At one point, he visited the offices of National Geographic. They picked up on the story. And if you haven't read it, it's actually a great read. He wrote a book, Walk Across America. Well, that's what we're going to do today. Oftentimes when we preach, and perhaps the best type of preaching at all, is a good exegetical study of five words out of Psalm 23. And sometimes I do that, and of course Tim does that on a regular basis. Now I will say, when I got here this morning, someone said, well, where are we going in the Old Testament today? And I smiled and I said, well, we're going to start with Noah. But today we're not going to focus on one, we're going to go for a walk. And I hope you'll go for a walk with me, just like, not like across America, and we're not going to go outside, but we are going to walk through the pages of Scripture. And we're going to talk not about focus on a number of people, but our central theme is on events. But they all have a common theme, and I know you're sharp, so you'll pick up on it very quickly. Now, we've already read, of course, about the flood, 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and you can read about that in Genesis 7 and 8. And it says, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The water flooded the earth for 150 days. But if you add them all up, my friends, from the day they went in till the time they came out, there were 371 days. And that was a big boat, but I'll bet by the time they were done, it wasn't big enough. In verse 15 of chapter 7 and 8, it says, and God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and wives. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wives and his sons' wives. That was 40 days of rain. I just want you to think for a second about 40 days. What's that like? Now, it doesn't seem like much if you're having a good time. I'm just going to read my notes that came to my mind. Think about 40 days with your mother-in-law. Now, I have a wonderful mother-in-law, and I love her very much. Now, she does happen to live 3,000 miles away in Bogota, and I don't see her very much. But for many people, that's a stretch on that time. Back when COVID came around, my wife's sister and her brother came to visit for 6 weeks and stayed 8 months. We were very good friends before that started. And we survived, but that wasn't easy. But just think about it. 40 days or 150 days or 371 days. It was 40 days of transformation, wasn't it? 40 days of the earth being transformed, of animals being transformed. But just think about how Noah and his family were transformed during 40 days and 40 nights of constant rain. And then not even to mention the days afterwards. Well, from Noah, we move on to our next event, and this is murder. There's a gentleman in the book of Genesis, which we learn about, and his name is Moses. And in Acts chapter 7, it kind of recounts his life, and we read, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, men, you're brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other? But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, who made you ruler and judge? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. He ran away because he knew that if Pharaoh caught him, his life was forfeit. So he goes to Midian. It's a desert. And there he is, 40 years. Now, it's a recurring theme for me, I know, but you realize where he lived for 40 years. He lived with his father-in-law. And he must have got along pretty good because he pops up again later. But there he was, 40 years, 40 years in the desert, and I haven't lived in the desert much. And of course, you know, you will know, we can always tell those who have come back from Arizona. Donna came in this morning, and it was like, well, look at that golden glow. I mean, she was laying out suntanning somewhere. And the rest of us, well, we're just a little bit white. But the desert isn't really nice to live in if you have no air conditioning and no swimming pool, and it's just dust and dirt and sand and grit and grime and sheep. We've already talked about sheep here before. Sheep are stupid, and he had 40 years of them. But just think about Moses during those 40 years, how many times he sat and thought about his own stupidity. I do that sometimes. I tend to not remember the good things, but I remember the bad. I can focus on them. I get stuck in them and kind of roll around in them. But during those 40 years, God was changing Moses. He was turning him into something new. It was transformation. 40 years. Well, a little bit later in Moses' life, he's now led the people of Israel, and they come to Mount Sinai, and God says, Moses, you come up here. I need to give you some rules, some laws. So let's hear what it says. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, for some reason, God likes the number 40. Now, when we're 20, we don't want to be 40. But when we're 60 or 80, 40 looks pretty good. And so Moses went up, and he was up there 40 days with God, but he was fine. But the Israelites, they stayed down below. They got in a host of trouble. It's when they made the golden calf, and they were going back to Egypt. They know, oh, he's never coming down. And there was Moses up there just talking with God, all just the two of them. He was never the same. 40 long days of waiting for the Israelites down below. And then he came down. He came down. Moses was better. The Israelites were worse. They were changed. They were transformed. Well, those same Israelites, as we move ahead a little bit, they left Mount Sinai, and then in 3 months they headed right up to go into the Promised Land. But because they disobeyed God, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 29, we read a little bit about the results of that. And because they didn't want to go in, because there were giants in the land and they were scared, it reads this in chapter 29. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials and to all his land. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands or ears that see or ears that hear. Yet the Lord says, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Here we go again, 40 years. Now think about poor old Moses. He'd already done 40 years in the desert. Now he gets to do 40 years more because of somebody else's stupidity. But sin has consequences, doesn't it? Some of us know that. Actually, all of us know it if we're honest. Sometimes I wonder in our culture if we even know what sin is anymore. If we can distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. You think about it for a minute. Now, I like the one phrase there, their clothes did not wear out. Now, I'm liking that. I'm thinking I could put on the same pair of jeans and the same shirt 40 years in a row. And I'll tell you what, I would be as happy as a clam. There's another person in my house that would not be happy about that. And their shoes didn't wear out. Now, I would like that as well, because I can remember my favorite shoes. And not only that, it says, it's kind of funny, I wrote down here, 40 years of no wine, but plenty of whining. 40 long years of transformation of the nation. And of course, then they, after those 40 years, they come up and they enter the promised land and they settle and they have judges and then they have kings. And then we have a guy pop up on the scene and his name is Goliath. You remember way back they didn't want to go into the promised land because there were giants in the land. Now they got a giant and he's really given them a problem. And in 1 Samuel 17, we read about Goliath, and of course, David pops up in the story. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'This day I defy the armies of Israel.' For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand." 40 days being insulted. And the Israelites had to take it. Now, actually, I've been at that stream. And it's just a little tiny stream, and there are rocks all over the place. When David finally got there, I mean, he picked up 5, because that's how many must have fit in his bag. He could have picked up 500. And it's kind of like this big slope on each side. So you got the army over here, army over here. He comes out every day and insults them. "Come on, come down here." You know, it's like WWE. 40 days of political speeches. 40 days of insults and ad nauseum. And 40 long days. And then verse 48 comes. It says, "As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground." But 40 days they were sitting there listening to this guy talk. Now, of course, you know, during election season and seemingly almost forever, I mean, they just talk and talk and talk, and it's like, man, a living. Are they ever going to stop? But it stopped, and he was dead. Well, now we go forward a little bit. There were a lot of kings in Israel, of course. Some were good, some were bad, and there were also prophets. So now let's talk about Jonah for a minute. Now, it's interesting, when we talk about Jonah, we immediately think of Jonah and the whale, Jonah and the great fish, you know, and how he didn't want to go preach in Nineveh, and so he got on a ship and they threw him off. And it's a great story and it's true. And he was in there 3 days and 3 nights, and we remember that. But it's interesting, this part of the story is after that. You see, in chapter 3 is when he actually got to work. He didn't spend 40 days in that fish or in the whale, but he did spend 40 days doing something else. And so in Jonah chapter 3, it says this, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh." He's a sharp guy. He learns. "Now Nineveh was a large city. It took 3 days to go around it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from the throne, took off his royal robes, and covered himself with sackcloth, sat down in the dust. When God saw what he did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." Jonah preached 40 days. Now, you're going to be happy that I'm not going to preach 40 days in a row, nor 40 hours, not even 40 minutes. But he did. And as he walked, he preached. We don't see a lot of street preachers here, do we? I think last weekend, Louisa and I were in Spencer, and here was a guy standing on the street corner, and he was preaching. And she said, "Whoa, what in the world's going on there?" And I said, "Well, that's just a street preacher." They're not that common. But that's what he did. And it's interesting, I thought about this. Sin has its consequences, but so does repentance. In our own personal lives, in the lives of a nation or the life of a city. You see what happened when they repented? Their repentance changed everything. And I wonder, just to take a break from our 40s here for a minute, What should you be repenting of right now? Now, you, some of you came to church together, and husbands and wives traveling to church together is always a challenge. In fact, I've often told Louisa it's kind of a blessing that I usually drive by myself to go preach somewhere, because we can't have an argument if we're not together. Now, I know you didn't think we ever have arguments, but occasionally it happens. What about you? What's going on in your life? What has happened? What have you done? Or what should you be repenting? What have you done or what have you not done? What have you been thinking about doing? That was 40 days to transform one city. And now we're going to move to the New Testament, and we're going to move to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4 is where we read of Jesus' 40 days in the desert. And it's interesting, as I went back to read it, I thought, interesting. It says he was tempted for 40 days. Not that he was just tempted right at the end with three temptations. We know of the three. We don't know how the rest of that time went, but I know fasting for 40 days would not be nice and difficult. And so it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. A warning, he's looking for your opportune time also, and he's looking for mine. But there was Jesus. Now we're going back in the desert. Moses was in the desert. The Israelites were in the desert. Jesus goes to the desert. Sun and snakes and loneliness and thirst and hunger. It was quiet. And the creator of the universe sat and suffered. Now he didn't sit and suffer for himself. He sat and suffered there because of you. And he loves you and he loves me. 40 days of preparation for your transformation. 40 days. And then we move on to the book of Acts, and we learn another time when Jesus spent 40 days. It says in Acts chapter 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave me convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And the next verse is our marching orders. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then later read, they went at the end of this time, and as they were looking intently up into the sky, Jesus was taken up into heaven. He said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. I could ask, Donna, was it nice to get home? Oh, yeah, not nice. It was nice to go to Arizona too, wasn't it? Yeah, it was nice. It was sunny, yeah. But you know, they write songs about, I think of the one, Lord, how I want to go home. You know, I'll bless you this morning. I will not sing for you. But after a long hospital stay, you know, you get home and I'm in my own bed. Oh, it's just nice to be home. Home on the range. After a long journey, you get home, it's just sweet. Travel is nice, but what's that saying? There's no place like home. I've got to believe that Jesus, in those 40 days after the resurrection, wanted to go home to be with his Father. But again, he spent 40 days instructing the disciples and instructing them for us. 40 days of transformation. Now, why don't I talk about 40 days? Why would I choose to do that? because it's a theme that goes throughout Scripture, and I think there's a good lesson for us here. You see, I don't know what you're going through in your, some of you I do. I know what's going on in your life a little bit, some a little bit more. Some have difficult situations of health. Others have difficult situations with relationships. Some have children that don't speak to them, grandchildren who ignore them. But life, I'm telling you, if you don't know this yet, life is hard. Life is not easy. But it is not forever. And I say it on my own life. I could trot out my list of woes, and I'm just not going to do it. But life is hard, and you are not alone. So now listen as I bring this to a conclusion. 40 days and 40 nights of rain. Day 41, the rain stopped. 40 years in the desert, Moses for murder. Year 40 years in the desert. Year 41, God called him to ministry. 40 days up Mount Sinai for Moses. And the Israelites waited. On day 41, he came down with the Ten Commandments. 40 years in the desert for Israel for lack of faith in God. But on year 41, they went into the Promised Land. 40 days, Goliath insults Israel. On day 41, a little shepherd boy slays him. 40 days, Jonah walked and preached in Nineveh. On day 41, the people repented. 40 days, Jesus fasted and was tempted. On day 41, the devil flees. 40 days, Jesus appeared after the resurrection. But on day 41, he ascended to heaven. All this, my friends, to encourage you, don't quit. 41 is coming. The rain will stop. The desert comes to an end. Mount Sinai does have a purpose. The giant will fall. The people will repent. The devil will flee. And we are going to enter our promised land. 41 is coming. Now, I want you to say it with me. 41. 41. And if you don't remember anything else today, I hope I can stick this in your mind like a thumbtack in your ear. 41. Say it again. 41. We don't quit because Jesus is walking right beside us. Here's some examples of not quitting. Admiral Peary, who desperately wanted to reach the North Pole, failed 7 times. He made it on the 8th. Oscar Hammerstein wrote 5 flop shows, which ran for a total of 6 weeks, before Oklahoma, which ran for a total of 269 weeks and made him a measly $7 million. John Creasy, an author, received 743 rejection slips before publishing one word. He eventually published 560 books, which sold 60 million copies. What would you have done? What would I have done on 742? Eddie R. Carl was a famous jockey who famously lost 250 consecutive races before becoming a winner. Now, that's nice stories from life, but what did God say in Isaiah 40, 31? He said, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That's a promise. In Isaiah 26, 3, he says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's a promise. Hebrews 13, 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Day 41 is coming. Just hold on to Jesus because he's holding on to you. 41, 41, 41, 41. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for that beautiful number. You didn't abandon the people forever. You were faithful, Lord, and you knew the day would come. But Lord, would you help us? We're weak. We sometimes wonder if it's ever going to get better as we deal with life here in this chaotic planet. But Lord, we know. We know because you've showed us, and we know because you've told us, 41 will come. So Lord, hold on to us and give us the faith that we need. Help us to encourage one another and remember each and every day, 41 will come and you are by our side all the way. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Give us 40 seconds to make the change. Thanks, Dan. 41. Would never ever have thought that's where you're going with it. But thank you very much. Lent. Do you know how many days Lent is? 40. Jesus, 40 days after the resurrection, he rose into heaven. Pentecost came on 50 days. That changed the whole world. It's where the church is born, on Pentecost Sunday. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And all the people said, amen. And we also say, go in peace and serve the Lord.